Welcome to the Big Success Podcast, cutting-edge conversations on business and personal success, as well as how to level up. Here's your host, number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars.
Wow, just wow. Dr. Marshall Goldsmith, gotta be 20-odd years ago I read this book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, his first book. And, you know, one of the great things he says in the podcast, and he explains it better than I can, is it's success is not always about what you got to do. It's about what you got to stop doing. And so I just love his take on success. You know, he's not only number one best-selling author, thinker, you know, being rated number one thinker in the Thinkers 50, number one executive coach in the world, more like 50-something books the guy's written. People say, wow, Brad, you've written 18 books. Marshall's at 50-something. His newest book, The Earned Life, is crushing it out there. I love it. It's phenomenal. So many interviews with so many successful people. He's a professor. He's all those things. Got the doctorate. You know, I've had Marshall teach my team around the world at least a half dozen times. I've brought him in to do that. And so I challenge you to listen to this and not walk away changed in how you view success and how you see your life being amazingly successful. Dive in with me and Dr. Marshall Goldsmith. So, Marshall, or should I say Dr. Marshall, we've been friends a long time, but I've never asked you this question. What is your definition of success? Like, what does success mean to you?
I'll give you a short answer and a longer answer. The short answer is basically living a life that meets two qualities. One, what I'm achieving is meaningful, and two, I enjoy it. So, you know, if you look at the broader answer, then I'd say I'll look at six things. One is to have a good life. What do you need? Well, one, you need to be healthy, because if you're not healthy, the rest of the stuff doesn't matter too much. You need at least a middle-class level of money. So, you know, extremely poor people are not very happy. On the other hand, beyond that, money is not too correlated with happiness. Then after that, what's important is you need to have a great relationship with the people you love. And then assuming you have that, what's left? Well, three things. One, you need some higher aspiration or purpose. Why am I doing this? What's this all for? Right. And then two, you need ambitions or achievements that connect to that. So all this hard work and achievement is connected to this. Yet you are achieving. And then number three, you need to enjoy the process of life. So on a day-to-day basis, you love what you're doing. So assume you can have some reason for doing this stuff. You're achieving things. What you're achieving is important and meaningful to you, and you enjoy the process of life. Yeah, you just won.
Love it. Love it. So succinct. Anyone would think you've done that before? So let's go back in your life then, Marshall. Where do you think you chose success? Like, was it as a kid? Was it an adult? Where did success become your thing, where you chose, I'm going to be better than average, I'm going to go for it?
You know, there are a variety of stopping points in my life. And they all began with people telling me, you could be more. My high school teacher, I got a D in math, you can be more. Then I met Dr. Paul Hersey, who's the most famous consultant in the world in our field at that time, and invented situational leadership with Ken Blanchard. And, you know, I was doing okay, but really he gave me this, you know, inspiration to do better. And then even after I worked with him for a while, I was doing much, much better. So he called me in. He said, you're making too much money and your customers are happy and you're never going to be who you could be. You're not writing. You're not thinking. You're not moving up to the next level. He was exactly right. And it was very kind of got me off my butt to thinking about that next level. So if I look at myself and success, various gradations of what is success, but there have always been people around me that have encouraged me to be more. Peter Drucker, Francis Hesselbein, Paul Hersey, people like that. They've really encouraged me. You can do more.
And so do you think that them saying that triggered something in you, or is it already there and they just bought it out of you? What's your thoughts?
I would say it did trigger something in me, because before I had that conversation with Paul Hersey, I was not unhappy. I was doing great. I was making more money than I ever made. My clients were happy. I was having a good life, right? So it wasn't like I was doing something wrong or I was sad. On the other hand, he challenged me to think, well, you can do more than this.
Yeah.
You can do more. And he was right. So, you know, comfort you know, you mentioned this business of what triggered that. One of the biggest obstacles we have to doing more is comfort.
Yeah.
And when we're comfortable, it's harder to change because there's no kind of immediate push to make us change.
Yeah, it's like that. There's got to be a challenge. There's got to be a focus. And the number of businesses or the number of people that had to change because of COVID, and it triggered so much growth. I want to ask you, though, Marshall, over the years, you must have formulated a methodology in your mind of how success happens. What is that? What is your formula? What is the Marshall Goldsmith way of making success a reality?
Well, I mean, you can look at it various factors. What leads to successful performance in anything? Now, the first one is motivation. Motivation, as you know, is a tricky term. It's not like I'm motivated to be a success or I'm motivated to make money. Everybody says they're that. The question is, are you motivated to do the work required to get there? That's what's important. Are you motivated to do the work required to get there? Everybody says I'm motivated. Everybody's motivated to be in shape. Well, that's nice. Are you motivated to work out? So the first element is, am I motivated? The second thing is, do I have the ability, potential to do this? Do I have the skills required? Do I know what to do and how to do it? Am I getting the support I need to make this happen? And then two other factors. The next factor is am I confident? Do I believe I can do it? Do I believe in myself? And then finally, is there a market for this? As you know better than I do, there's got to be a market. There's got to be a market. So, you know, you read a book like The Secret, you know, which is a total nonsense book. You know, if
we agree on that wholeheartedly.
If I envision this, it will happen. Well, not really. See, every waitress in Hollywood envisioned being a movie star. Mm. A couple of minor problems. One, most of them didn't have the talent. And two, there's no market. There's no market. So 1 out of 1,000 is going to make it, right? So, you know, you got to be motivated. You got to be have the skills. You've got to believe in yourself. You have to have the confidence to do it. You have to know what to do and how to do it. Get supported, and there has to be some market. There has to be some market.
How do you think that if you look at that for you over your life, how have you applied that to everything you've done to create the massive success you've had?
Well, number one, I'm motivated to do what I do. Why am I working? I'm 74 years old, right? I don't have to work. Yeah. Why am I doing this? Because I like it. You know, I'm motivated to do it. I'm very fortunate. I've been trained by great people over the years. So I've developed ability over years and understanding. I believe in myself. I'm confident. So I'm motivated. I'm able. I'm confident. I believe I can do it. Also, I came up with a product where there is a market, though, helping successful leaders get even better. There's a market for what I do. There's a market. And I've gotten a lot of support from people around the world. I mean, one thing you said about me, I'll never forget. You said, I'm kind of the world's expert at marketing my customers. And, you know, I am. If you look at my book, The Earned Life, look at the first 6 pages, who these people are.
Yeah.
It's an all-star team. My customers are great people. And, you know, Alan Mulally, one of the great customers I ever had. I mean, I'm going to see him on Friday. So anyway, Alan, a wonderful, wonderful man, CEO of the year in the United States. Ford went from 101 to 1840 when he was the CEO. 97% approval rate, every employee in a union company. So I asked Alan, what's the secret to success in coaching? He said, one thing, great customers. You get a great customer, you win. You get the wrong customer, you lose. Nobody gets better because of you. You work with dedicated, hardworking people, and don't make it about your ego and how smart you think you are. Make it about how hard they are, how great they are, and how hard they work. Well, there goes my career.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I do remember one time you telling me the story of someone saying, you know, why should I work with you? You're like 10 times more expensive than the other guy. And you said, yeah, go work with the other guy. And they said, but why should I work with you? And you said, because once a year I have a lunch and all my other customers come. So it was like the differentiator was amazing. I want to go back to the subject of success, though, and flip it over. How does failure teach success? And how do some people let failure keep them a failure? What's the difference between the two?
Well, number one, I'm asking a question a lot. If I had to go back in my life, what would I change? The answer is nothing. Now, the reason I say nothing is not like I haven't failed or made a mistake. You know me. I made a zillion mistakes. I make mistakes on a daily basis. On the other hand, if you eliminate the mistakes, you eliminate the failure, you eliminate everything you learn from the mistake. Mm. You eliminate everything you learn from the failure. So, I mean, to me, you have to look at it that way. And if you look at what is a differentiator, well, you know about sales better than I do. You got to be resilient and you need to be able to understand rejection and deal with rejection. And you got to have a positive attitude and say, I'm going to win. Sometimes I'm going to sell. Sometimes I'm not. If I do, great. If I don't, I keep going. If you get disheartened by rejection, though, you're in trouble. And by the way, you know this better than me.
You know, I was listening to an interview with a golfer the other day, and he talked about that from a perspective. He says, I have 7 bad shots around. So once I have a bad shot, I go, oh, there goes. I'm down to 6 now. You know, and that whole thing. If you look at, Marshall, one of the greatest things success that you've taught is about the feed-forward system, not the feedback system. Explain how that builds the cycle of success.
Well, what happens is every one of my clients gets confidential feedback, but feedback is only useful to help you get where you are. Feed-forward is where to get to the next place. And in feed forward, they don't ask for more feedback. They ask for ideas for the future, not feedback about the past. So I teach all of my clients to ask for ongoing ideas, listen to people, and say thank you. Now, I'm a Buddhist. Buddhists said only do what I teach. It works for you. If it doesn't work for you, it's okay. Just don't do it. Yeah. Well, that's feed forward. Over the COVID experience, my book, The Earned Life, my friend Mark Thompson and I spent 600 hours with 60 amazingly successful people, and their names are all in the book, so it's not a secret of who they are. And every week they practice feed forward. Every week they do a review of their week. They say, here's what I did great. Here's what I screwed up. Here's what I help with. Please help me. They sit there, shut up, listen, take notes, say thank you over and over and over again for 2 years.
He's the genius behind the book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. We're going to dive into that in just a minute. You're on the Big Success Podcast with Brad Sugars. We'll be back in a minute.
If you're the kind of business owner who hates cold calling and chasing after new leads, then you'll love the easy referral strategies in Instant Referrals by Brad Sugars. This book will give you innovative ways and methodologies to bring new customers into your business. Pick up your copy today.
You're back on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars. We are with Dr. Marshall Goldsmith. Marshall, when I first read this book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, it was like a light bulb to me. Firstly, where did the idea of the book come from, and what is the essence behind the theory?
Well, a couple of inspirations for the book. One is Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker said, we spend a lot of time helping leaders learn what to do. We do not spend enough time helping leaders learn what to stop. He said, half of the leaders that I meet do not need to learn what to do. They need to learn what to stop. Well, that was part of the book. The second thing is my friend Alan helping great people get better. So rather than sitting there saying, how can I fix losers? This book is winners. This talks about the problems that come with success and how do you overcome these problems. Nobody had written a book before about the problems that come with success. Everybody, well, success is good. Well, yeah, sort of. Success also brings problems. And here are the problems that it brings, and here's how you overcome these problems. And also part of that, look, that book, a lot of life is luck. Let's face it, a lot of life is luck. This book sold 1.5 million or 2 million copies. I've done 53 books. It sold as much as the other 52 put together, right? Thing is huge. And the title is just a killer. What got you here won't get you there. Well, I was at the publishers. It was a book about. I said, it's kind of like what got you here won't get you here. My friend Mark Ryder said, you know, that sounds really stupid. You ought to say, what got you here won't get you there. That's where the title came from. Sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you work really hard. And so it looks like it was luck. Let's talk about leadership then. How do you succeed at leadership in this time?
Well, you know, for the great individual achiever, it's mostly about me. Mm. For the great leader, it's about them. And that's a very difficult transition. You work with a lot of people who are in startup businesses, mid-sized businesses, And it's a tough transition for these people. Maybe they're the founder. They got the brains behind the business, whatever. And it is very hard to let go of it. It's all about me and make it about them. Scaling, I'm sure you know far better than I do, is a huge, huge challenge. So in terms of developing yourself as a leader, all the leaders that I work with do get feedback. They talk to people what they learn. They develop strategies. They follow up. We measure improvement. And it's work. It's work. Mm-hmm. They have to do things over and over and over again to get better. Arnold Schwarzenegger got a great quote. Nobody got muscles by watching me lift the weights. Well, I wrote an article called Leadership is a Contact Sport. Any of your listeners like a copy of it, send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. I'll send you a copy of it. It's research from 86,000 people. And what they all went to this similar courses. They got feedback. A lot of them were taught by me. I taught them all the same thing. You've been to my course before. I teach everybody the same thing. Talk to people, learn, follow up, feed forward. Here's what you do. Here's how you get better. You know, what I learned, that the people that did this stuff, that did all that follow up and practice feed forward over and over, got better. And shockingly, the people that did nothing didn't get better. But Brad, I've got good news. They didn't get worse. They just stayed the same.
So let's think about that then. If I am an executive looking to grow my career and move up the path, because you've worked with the most spectacular executives, what sets the two apart? What do you think it is? Is it as simple as that, feed forward and keep getting better, or is there more to it?
I'm going to give you one learning from Peter Drucker that really does apply, especially when you're younger, moving up, okay? I'm going to share a couple of thoughts from the great Peter Drucker. Now, again, I got ranked number one leadership thinker in the world. My brain compared to Peter Drucker was that of a 10-year-old. I mean, that guy was smart. So I was very lucky to hang around with him for a long time. And he taught me a lot of good lessons. Here's one of his great lessons. It begins with point one. We're here on earth to make a positive difference, not to prove we're smart and not to prove we're right. So many leaders get lost on proving how smart they are and right they are. They feel, who cares? That's not what you're here for. And the higher up you go, you got to stop doing that. Let them be the heroes. Quit being a hero all the time. Number two, every decision in life is made by the person who has the power to make the decision. Make peace with that. Not the smartest person, the best person, a fair person, a wonderful person. Decisions are made based on one and only one variable, power. Whoever's got the power to make the decision, going to make the decision. Point three, if you have the power to make the decision and I need to influence you to make a positive difference, there is one word to describe you. That word is called customer. There's one word to describe me. That word is called salesperson. Customers don't have to buy. Salespeople have to sell. In life, sell what you can sell. Change what you can change. If you can sell it, sell it. You can change it, change it. You can't sell it. You can't change it. You smile. You take a deep breath. Let it go and move on. Just let it go and move on. And you know, Brad, most people understand this when they deal with external customers. They don't understand it inside their own company, though. They somehow think it's different. Look, your boss is the customer. A woman I just talked to last week, otherwise brilliant woman, great at sales, ironically. You know what? Well, I didn't get this thing about the salesperson of the year, and I should have, and I was really great, and I'm so disappointed. It wasn't fair. You know, wah, wah, wah. Poor me. It wasn't fair. I told her, Peter Drucker, who's the decision maker? Well, it's this one guy. Well, did you try to sell him? Oh, no. I don't think I should have had to sell him. I said, well, you don't have to, but you don't have to get the job either, right? And you failed. Ironically, she was in sales, and she understood how sales work when selling to the external customer. Yeah. She didn't realize people that are above her in the company, they're the customer. She didn't sell.
Yeah.
She didn't sell to the decision maker. And guess what? She lost.
Yeah. One of the things that you are a genius at, and I don't think you get enough credit for, is branding, how you've built the Marshall Goldsmith brand. What are some of the keys to being successful at branding anything, but most importantly, yourself?
Number one, you need a clear brand identity. So my brand identity, helping successful leaders achieve positive long-term change in behavior. All right, do a Google search, helping successful leaders, in quotes. The first 500 links, 450 are me. The entire rest of the world, they get the rest. Who's the most who's the most famous coach? Me. You know, that's it. Why? Build a brand, right? Very clear and focused. Stay on message and reinforce that brand over and over and over. And building a brand takes work. And there is no short-term pat on the head. There's no short-term money. You have to invest to build a brand. Most people want to have a brand, but they don't want to build a brand. I wrote in part of my book, The Earned Life, I had a chapter called Credibility Must Be Earned Twice. Part of credibility is doing great work. The second part of credibility is being recognized for doing great work. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. They're totally different things. And, you know, a lot of people have this misguided belief, my good work should speak for itself. You ever heard that before? My good work should speak for itself. What a bunch of nonsense. Your good work doesn't speak for itself. Your good work doesn't speak. You gotta speak for yourself. If your good work would speak for itself, no company would have a marketing function.
So true. You know, if you look at going out for awards, going and doing that stuff, asking customers for feedback, you're a genius at it. I want to ask you about two other areas, though. How do we succeed at being a great coach? Because leaders have to be coaches, salespeople, entrepreneurs, even coaches have to be coaches, obviously. How do we succeed at being great at coaching?
Do not make it about you. Make it about them. First thing, by the way, when I coach people, first thing I say is, look, for years, I didn't get paid if my clients didn't get better. Better wasn't judged by me or them. It's judged by everyone around them. What I always tell my clients, I don't get paid if you don't get better. I'm going to help you. Better is not going to be determined by me. It's determined by you. Now, I'm going to tell you stuff to do. And if you do this stuff, you're probably going to get better. But you're not going to get better if you don't do it. And it's work. If you don't want to work, it's okay. Don't work with me. On the other hand, if you do this stuff and put in the hard work, you're probably going to get better. But the key variable is not me. Now, you know, you look at that book, all those fancy people that endorsed me talk about how wonderful I am. I left out a couple of names. I coached the guy who was ranked the worst CEO in America before he met me. Before he met me, he was ranked the worst CEO in America. I worked with him for a year. Guess what happened after the year? He was still the worst CEO in America. In fact, he was probably worse than when he started. He probably went backward even more. You know what I learned? It's not about me.
Yeah. I love it. Last thing, earned life, legacy. How do we succeed at building a life that leaves us a legacy?
Well, to me, legacy is basically what I do most of my life for now. As you know, I get this project, 100 Coaches. I give things to people. I'm working on my own computer bot. I'm going to give it all away. What is legacy? I heard a great definition the other day of legacy. Legacy is being present when you're absent. Legacy is being present when you're absent. That's pretty much most of my life now, is that being present when you're absent. I mean, hopefully some people are going to hear this. Maybe help them have a little better life. That's my legacy. I would be present when I'm absent. And then maybe they help somebody else. They have a little bit better life. I'm present when I'm absent. In your life, you spend a lot of time helping people, teaching people. You're present when you're absent.
Love it. You're with Marshall Goldsmith on the Big Success Podcast. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about going from good to great.
Dr. Goldsmith is a member of the Thinkers 50 Hall of Fame. He has been ranked as the world's number one executive coach and top 10 business thinker for years. To learn more about Dr. Marshall Goldsmith, please visit marshallgoldsmith.com.
And you're back on the Big Success Podcast. Marshall, how do you get someone to go from good to great? I think that's a lot of what you've taught me over the years is, how does someone go from being successful to being ultra successful?
Well, again, you've got to challenge yourself with that question. Can I be more? Can I be more? And again, watch out for comfort. Watch out for comfort, because comfort is the enemy of changing. If you're not careful, you're comfortable. Life is going pretty good. You know, And you just kind of get into that rut and you don't get better. Why? Because there's not enough pressure. You're not putting it. You ask yourself, can I be more? The other thing is I teach in my book is, you know, every time I take a deep breath, it's a new me. It's a new me. And, you know, we all want to believe the following. Everything's going to be good when, you know, once I get to this place, everything is going to be fine. I'm not going to screw up anymore. I'm going to be a good person in great physical condition, have a great life. Everything's going to be great when. Well, the reality is there's no place called when. There is no when. There's only one book that has the same ending, and they lived happily ever after. They lived happily ever after. That's called a fairy tale. That's not the real world.
Yeah.
Nobody lives happily ever after. Look at these 60 people I spent 600 hours with. Hey, how much have they achieved?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if that happily ever after crap was true, they'd all be jumping up and down off the ceiling every day. Well, they're just humans like everybody else. Every day they start over. Every week they start over. All right, there's no happily ever after place. That's not the way life works. That's why the book's called The Earned Life, not The Given Life. You actually have to do something.
Yeah. Your immediate response when I asked the question of going from good to great was not, can I do more, but can I be more? Explain that be versus do to me.
Well, you know, can I do more could be, I just do more of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not changing really who I am or what I'm doing. I'm just doing more of the same. I'm reliving the same year, maybe more efficiently. The question is, can I be more means, can I be somebody beyond who I am right now? Can I be a different person in the sense that, you know, we all put ourselves in boxes. Well, don't put yourself in a box. Assuming you don't have a genetic defect, you can be more.
Mm. Marshall, you've coached people that are massive performers. What is the difference between someone who's got that an insane dream, the billions, versus the people who are just happy with millions? What's the difference between those people? How do they get to that level?
I think that number one is they just keep trying. You know, they just keep trying. They don't coast. They realize this is an ongoing drama. And also, you mentioned money. For most of them, really, the money in and of itself is not why they're doing it.
Mm.
I mean, once you get to a certain point, what's money matter anyway? I'm coaching one guy's worth $4 billion. So what am I here to get you up to $4.1 billion? Who cares, right? You're already worth $4 billion. What does this matter anyway, right? He said, you're right. Well, what happens is for most of the people that are mega successful, it really isn't about money in and of itself.
Mm.
It's about something beyond that, such as I really love what I'm doing. I enjoy it. It's meaningful for me. I'm helping others. I have a higher aspiration. Look, you're not working for money. Look, boy, you get an extra $1 million. How much is your life going to change? Zero. What are you going to, you're not going to get another car. You're not going to get another wife. You're not going to get another house. You're not going to change. What are you going to change? Not much, right? So, you know, what do you work for? Well, you enjoy what you're doing. It's fun. It's kind of a challenge to you. You feel you're achieving something and it's important.
Let's go to the short round, short question, short answers. How do you succeed at relationships?
Try. Ask people, how can I be a better partner? How can I be a better dad? I ask my grandkids, how can I be a better grandpa? I asked them that question yesterday. It was great fun.
How can I succeed better at health?
Oh, at helping others. Yeah. Don't care about what you want to do. Don't make it about your great desire to give them help. Figure out what they need, not what you enjoy. And maybe what they need has zero to do with what you can make a contribution at. Then don't help at all.
Love it. How do I succeed at helping others? How do I succeed at self-development?
I have a process called the daily question process. Mm-hmm. Every day, make a list of questions to represent what's most important in your life. Every day, fill out a little form with a scale. End of the week, you get a report card. I've been doing this 25 years. It is easy to understand and phenomenally difficult to do. I have someone call me on the phone to help me every day. Why? My name is Marshall. I'm too cowardly and undisciplined to do this crap by myself. I need help. It's okay. It's okay.
Remember when you sat down and you shared with me, you know, I have someone call me every day and ask me the same questions. And it's like, I now have my finance coach call me every month and go through the exact same questions with me around every business I have. You know, it's just simple. How do we succeed at goal setting?
You need to ask yourself the question when you set the goal, why? Don't just set a goal, why? And also the second question is priority. All right, I want to set this goal, but you can't set 27 different goals, right? So you got to look at each goal you set and say, all right, on a relative scale, how important is this? And if you tell yourself it's all important, you might as well say it's none of it's important.
Yeah. Final question, Marshall. What's the best piece of advice or the best quote you ever got on the subject of success?
I think a way to keep inspired and positive is a little chant I do every day. It gives me motivation and enthusiasm. And for me, it's very helpful. And, you know, as I teach, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, it's okay. What is this chant? If you're listening right now, put both feet on the ground. Sit or stand straight. Imagine a cord is going from the top of your head down through your spine. Center yourself. Put both hands together like this. Breathe. And the chant goes like this. There's no business like show business.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
I do that with all my clients. You know what I tell them? If you're a leader, it's showtime. You ever go to Broadway show and watch a kid say, my foot hurts, I got a headache? No, no, no. They don't have a headache and their foot doesn't hurt. It is showtime. So yeah. People like coaches say the kid's making about a thousandth what you're making. They can get out there night after night after night and bust their ass. Guess what? So can you. Yeah. It's showtime.
I love it. The Marshall Goldsmith. This is the Big Success Podcast. We'll be back next week with more on success. And that's the Big Success Podcast for today. Hopefully you took a lot of notes and hopefully you learned a bunch. And hopefully you're going to take action on it and refer people. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, click that subscribe button now. Be with us every week on the Big Success Podcast. BS, Brad Sugar's Big Success. Take action. Check the show notes for all the links. I'll give you all the links for everything that your speaker had. Make sure you follow through and keep the learning going. Remember, you got to grow into your goals. I'll speak to you next time on the Big Success Podcast.
You've been listening to the Big Success Podcast with the number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars. To learn more about how to achieve business and personal success, as well as how to level up or listen to past episodes, visit www.bradsugars.com.